Sup, ishes? We back.
Finally, we are back for our homies.
Eh.
Our listeners. What do we call them?
Followers.
Followers.
Fan. You like to call them fans.
What was it now? Like meat gazers? What were we got a bunch
no,
of
that
hashtags.
Was you.
No, it was not. We got a bunch of hashtags that said some stuff. Anyway, we're back. Finally.
And I'm going to be eating hard candy, so if you hear it clicking around, I apologize.
Jesus. You know that I think that annoys me more than it annoys anybody else.
I know.
When I listen back.
Why you think I do it, son?
And chomping on it. No, we're finally back, man. Dixon has a very busy life.
Sorry for having two full-time jobs, trying to make a better life for my wife and I.
You know what? Well, so am I with this podcast. We're trying to make not just two lives better. We're trying to make
you work your 40
hundreds
hours,
and hundreds of listeners that listen.
And then you talk to me for an hour and a half. I work a 40-hour plus a week job at the radio station. I put in another 20 to 40, depending on the week, at the club.
Yeah.
And I play in bands, rehearse, manage bands.
Hey, and guess what? You also host a podcast.
Yeah.
With Fancy Mother F and J. So that means
bottom of the priority list, brother.
Wow. All right, I remember that when we're trying to produce a reality show geared around your cooking.
No, you know I love you, but it really boils down to...
I'm just kidding, man.
The wife and I have decided that for our winter vacation next year, because she's never been, that we're going to save up and we're going to go to Hawaii, which is why I'm putting in all the hours now.
I thought you were saying you're going to save up and come to L.A., and I was like, woohoo!
No.
You have to stop in L.A.?
Actually, we don't.
Where are you going to stop? San Diego?
San Diego is looking like where our connecting flight to Hawaii would be.
That's usually
because we're going
best.
To Oahu.
I went to Maui. But so are you flying directly to San... No, you can't fly directly to San Diego from Syracuse. So you're going to have to go...
It's Cuse, O'Hare, San Diego.
Then Hawaii. Then Hawaii, which is a five-hour trip.
Which is fine.
I never realized that. It's almost like flying to... It's the equivalent of if you're in L.A. and you're flying to England, 8 hours, as it is flying from the East Coast to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Same amount of time.
I tried to talk her into the Caribbean, but she wasn't having it. She doesn't want to get a passport or anything.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. Are you allowed to get a passport?
I have a passport, yeah. I'm just not allowed into Canada.
That's the only state.
Yeah.
So you're still allowed to leave the United States. I didn't know if the U.S. border... prohibited you to go anywhere because they didn't want you to cause more trouble.
No, I've been out of the country a million times, man. Yeah. I'm just not allowed in Canada.
No, Hawaii is awesome, though. I think you guys will have a good time.
I didn't really care for it the two times I've been there, but she...
Have you been to that island?
I've been to Honolulu twice, both on business with bands, once with Sum 41, and then once I was being lured to book a club down there called The Pipeline, which I decided against because it's... It's a hassle to get bands to come to Hawaii, and it's expensive. And
yeah, did you book your tickets already? Are you close to it?
We've got it bookmarked. You know what I mean? Like we've locked in the prices and whatnot. And for the three stops, man, like it's super affordable.
What airline are you doing?
I don't know. It hasn't assigned it yet.
Well, let's hope that you don't do United airline.
Why?
Why have you been?
Try and drag me out of somewhere, bro. Give it a shot,
dude. Can you believe that? That is insanity to me. I actually had a friend who listens to this podcast. I won't give his name because I think he just likes to stir up controversy. But this dude is saying that it's the guy's fault, the passenger's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's the passenger's fault?
Yeah.
What? You just said that try to drag me out. Now you're...
Well, here's the thing. They offered him money for his seat. He refused.
No. They didn't offer money. They offered everybody a voucher for $500. Nobody took it. Then they offered everybody a voucher for $800. Nobody took it. Then they said, okay, a computer system is picking this guy. Then they came to a seat and he said, I'm not going to leave. He bought his ticket. He was already in a seat. Here's the thing.
The legality of it is that you're signing a contract stating that they can revoke their service at any time and refund you your money.
Correct, but they don't have to use that type of physical force. That's the issue.
How else are you supposed to deal with this guy that won't move?
You just say that you put public pressure on him. You just say, okay, the flight's going to be canceled. If you stay here any longer, we will not move.
So then you get vigilante justice as opposed to having people that are trained?
I don't think passengers are going to... Well, did it help United? Because not only did passengers on the flight
Could you imagine how bad this would be if they did turn it into vigilante justice?
Well, I don't think you'd turn it into vigilante. It's not like...
It definitely would, dude. Imagine there's got to be one dude on that plane that has a similar mindset to me where I would have just turned and dragged the dude off myself.
Well, obviously there wasn't, because that one dude like you would have turned and helped those officers drag his ass out. People walked off that plane and said, I'm not flying with you. Like
it's because in this day and age, everybody is a bunch of like soft centered pussies.
No, you're a soft serve pussy.
Centered.
Dude, I really hope this is the character that is DXN on this podcast and not the real you. Because if you were on a flight with your wife and you got bumped and you were told to leave, you and your wife were told to leave. And you had a place to be, one of your many jobs that you have to do, and you have to be back for it.
I'd tell you right now that if they offered us $800 vouchers to get off that plane, we would have been the first people in line to get off.
Okay, but say that you don't need the vouchers, because half of those vouchers, they're blackout dates and they don't work. I've used them many a times, and it's a bunch of BS. What I'm saying is, if anybody came and tried to physically pull you out of a seat,
I'd have put them in an arm bar.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It would have turned into something. He didn't break a law. There's no law that was broken.
But he also didn't fight back.
Well, because
he made himself the martyr. He made himself the victim.
Well, he was the victim.
He
and
was,
you know,
not
what?
A victim.
He's going to.
He was randomly picked by a computer to be pushed off the airplane.
And yes, but the problem is that people have. Their lives are geared around airlines. You buy a ticket. You're expecting to be on that. We already have to worry about lost luggage and delayed flights and canceled flights and all that. To then be on the flight and then picked out of everybody else to get off when you have a place to be the next day, all for some staff member of United to get on that flight. That's the other thing that, you know, that's the second part of the story. It wasn't because, oh, too many people had that seat and this person bought the ticket first and it was a mix up within the system. They bumped somebody because they wanted to get a crew member to the next city. That's, you can't do that to your customer. And that's the reason why
you can, when there's a minimum staff requirement for an air flight staff.
The staff wasn't to work. It was one of those staff. It was one of those flight attendants that wants to get on a flight to go to the next city to get out because they're going home. It was one of those situations. It wasn't somebody to
work.
Where
are you getting
flight.
Your news? Fox News?
No, because that would be what you would be listening. Dude, it's all over. It's proven. It's literally like in every article. It's all over there.
People just need to learn to suck it up. It's not fucking detrimental. It's not the end of the world.
Well, it is for United because their stock is down in the billions now. In the billions. That's how much it's plummeting.
I don't. You know why I really genuinely don't care?
Because you don't care about
it. Because it doesn't affect
anything?
Me. Because it doesn't affect
me. Well, that's the second part of the story. There's so many people who are like, oh, I boycott United. I'm boycotting. Yeah. Okay. We can all boycott United. You know what? In a year from now, when you need to buy a ticket and United's got a cheaper airfare and you need to get there, your asses are going.
I'll
on
tell
United
you right now, United's prices have to be super low right now if they're losing billions of dollars and hemorrhaging money. I'll fly United tomorrow, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's what you need to do. Yeah. Just make sure that you can't get bumped. I mean, yeah. even the president came out or the CEO of the company said, yeah, we shouldn't have handled it this way. It was way too aggressive, man. It was way too aggressive. You could say the guy was a martyr, but if that was anybody else.
Dude, you're talking to a guy that used to throw people down the stairs for a living.
But they did something wrong.
So did I. I've done a million things wrong in my life.
But I'm saying the people that you threw down the stairs did something wrong. This guy didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't get up from his seat because he said, I bought this ticket. He didn't break the law. He did not break the law.
You are so far to the left that it makes me sad, and I'm a dude that is not a right winger by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just a realist.
Here's the deal. If that was me in that situation, I would have gotten up.
Yes, you would have, because you're non-confrontational.
Exactly. Especially when I hold up a whole plane, because I wouldn't want the purge happening to me on an airliner in the middle of the fucking tarmac. So, yeah. You're damn right I would have gotten up, and I would have been like, sweet, okay, honey, sorry, I'm going to be late. I got an $800 voucher. But that's not me, and I don't know his situation. At the end of the day, though, if I did have a reason to get home and I didn't want to be the one that's bumped off, if you're going to like beat the crap out of me and drag me down.
They didn't beat the crap out of him. They just snatched him up out of his seat.
They had blood all over, man. It's
because he struggled.
Anyway, I love Here's starting the thing. Off with such.
You know what would have been great? Is had that dude just been smart. He's a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Convicted felon, drug dealer.
Well, that's that's you don't know that that's what came up. You don't know necessarily.
You don't know.
Dude's
a scumbag. Let's just call a spade
a spade.
How is
he a scumbag?
Because he's a convicted drug dealer.
Listen, he gave a couple pills for a little action
Doesn't
in the
matter.
Back room.
Doesn't matter.
He's not a drug dealer.
That's some shady shit that you don't do when you take the Hippocratic oath.
He was never arrested for it. We do not
Whatever.
Know
Bullshit.
That.
He's a piece of shit. What I would have done in his situation, is simply negotiated. No, I don't want the 800 voucher. If you want me to get up, I want two tickets for my wife and I to Hawaii anytime
First
we want
class.
Them. You know what I mean? Like, buy me off. If you really want me off this plane bad enough, then you're going to comp the shit out of me. You're
going
to fly me first class tomorrow to my destination on the first available flight. And if you need to bump somebody to do it, you're going to do it. And then I want two first class tickets to Hawaii for my wife and I. And I'll happily get off the plane.
Yes. I would negotiate too. But the thing is, and when you're in that moment, it's easy to say that now, knowing what the outcome is. I bet that guy didn't think that he was going to be bloodied up and dragged off the plane by all four of his limbs. Like, nobody thought that. That's why
it is what it is. What's
that?
I'm sorry that I thought it was funny.
Of course you did. You're a sadistic. You're like the most sadistic liberal I've ever met.
Why do you say that? That'd be a great name for a band, the
Sadistic Liberals. Yeah, see that? You can take that. Can I be in the band? And I just
You don't
scream.
Play anything.
I'll just scream. I play saxophone, man.
Do you?
Yeah.
I heard you could blow.
You know it. Only reeds, though. You sicko.
I'll find a dude named Reed for you.
Well, perfect segue. So did you see this, that the NASA discovered...
Why are we talking about smart people stuff? This is a wrestling podcast.
Okay, first of all, this is a pop culture slash wrestling podcast, and we're talking about relevant things, and you didn't let me finish the question.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you went right from like hot news story to NASA. I feel like we're doing NPR here, man.
No.
No, go ahead with your NASA thing.
They discovered a place where you can have
nonstop.
Like,
I'm a little punchy. I've had a lot of sugar.
So love me and don't be the abusive significant other. Be the embracing significant other, okay? The whole point is, I was going to go down my perverted route. They've discovered a moon off of a planet where there can be life, okay? So the three primary ingredients for life are liquid water, source of energy for metabolism, and the right chemical ingredients, usually carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, blah, blah, blah. So they found this, okay? So there's a chance that there could be life out there. This was my B-show question to you, Dixon. Would you have sex with an alien?
Depends on what she looked like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how far would you go alien before you'd be like, nah, dude, I can't do that?
I mean, it totally depends on what this creature looks like
Not
and how big its tits are.
Okay, would you have sex with an alien if you knew she was going to be super hot?
Like that blue thing from that one movie?
Like the alien, like that you see that are out in the Area 51.
That hot-ass broad from like Men in Black.
No, not Linda Fiorentino. No, like the standard aliens that you see in like Area 51.
With like the weird misshapen heads and stuff.
Yeah,
it would depend on how big their tits are.
They were huge.
Probably.
Yeah, like
is it like a standard issue vagina?
You don't know that until you go in, but you know that it'll be awesome, and you know you won't die.
And yeah, of course I would.
But you're married.
Yeah, I think this one is.
You think
kinda,
your wife would let you get away with it?
Dude,
I think I'd be scared. Like, if you got an alien STD, you don't know what that is.
What rubbers are for?
Would you wrap it up?
Oh God, yeah.
Why does the alien have to have big boobs in order for you to have sex? I mean, there seems to be
Something's
so many
gotta
other...
Give me a boner, dude.
You know it's going to be the greatest
what if,
sex.
What if it's a flat-chested alien? How do I know I'm not banging a dude alien at that point? Give me some titties.
NASA told you. How do you know that on that planet the guy aliens had the boobs and the girl aliens are flat-chested?
Doesn't matter. I'm having fucking Earth sex.
Okay, so here's the deal. Say there's an alien that comes down and looks exactly
like a
9-year
old.
Comes down and has a woman. I'm the 9-year old. I told you it was going to go wrestling podcast wise. The alien comes down and the woman looks like a dude, body wise.
I'm out. Not attracted to dudes.
But hold on. The guy alien looks like the chick and has a vagina. Would you have sex with it?
No.
Because it's a guy?
Yeah.
Because you knew it was a guy, but in that planet, like, it could be.
Yo, I don't want to be that weird earthling that knocks up some dude from another planet, and then I'm stuck in this weird love triangle with my human wife and this alien dude that's pregnant with my bastard love child.
That is like a perfect sitcom. Like the modern version of My Two Dads. Remember that TV show back in the day?
Unfortunately, yeah.
That was a great show. I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I mean, like, I guess it would depend on how hot the alien was. Okay, say this question. The alien is super hot. Looks like a chick. Super gorgeous. 50% of the men who have sex, it's the greatest sex you ever have. Greatest sex. And it can be as long as you want. Or the other 50% is you die in the middle of sex like a praying mantis. And you're not married.
You don't die in the middle of sex with a praying mantis. Praying mantis, the female bites the male's head off after he's done.
No, while he's inside. After he's in 70, yeah, but he's still inside, and then they bite.
That's fine, but it's at the end. It's
okay,
not
fine.
In the middle.
Yes, you've had your 2 hours, and you're able to finish. Do you take that chance?
There's no guarantee I'm finishing.
Okay, so do you take the chance?
Probably not.
The greatest sex in, like, you can't even explain it, and you get to have that sex forever.
Not to sound corny about it, I already have my wife, which is the best sex I've ever had.
Oh, jeez. You went there. This is like the most lunacy and stupid thing that I've ever brought up on this podcast.
No, it's not.
You went there. You, the guy who talks donkey shows and fighting turkeys and all of this, and then you wrap it around and you're like, I love my wife.
I do. I love my wife.
I know. I said you're not married. You're not married. She doesn't exist.
You do not get to make that judgment call,
sir. I do in
this
scenario.
I made a commitment to this woman.
Oh, Jesus.
I have a tattoo on my finger, sir.
All right, I have another question for you.
Okay.
So there was a roller coaster at Six Flags. I don't know the state.
Maryland. It was in Baltimore.
Okay. And 24 people were stuck 100 feet in the middle of a turn in a loop.
I'll tell you right now, if that was me, I'm going to that theme park for the rest of my life for free.
For 3 hours. Okay, so here's the scenario I was going to ask. Would you rather have that scenario, 3 hours stuck like that, or a rocky, scary, you could die, but you end up living 5 minutes end of a flight. Oxygen mask, come down.
I'm going roller coaster every time, man. Those things have, like, things in place.
See, normally I would agree with you, dude, but when you're stuck up there for 3 hours, 100 feet in the air, and you're, like, half upside down, I would just, like, that would seem like you were up there for a week.
I feel bad for whoever's under me because you know I'm pissing like 6 times in that 3 hours. Geez,
especially you. You just had all those sugar drinks too. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had like 7 Slurpees and a Coke and a Mountain Dew. Who's getting peed on?
Yeah, that's true. What happened if you did have to go pee?
I guarantee you somebody like got peed on.
They'd have to. Or you pee yourself? I mean, just because of the fear factor of it after.
I'd be yelling down to the firefighters, yo, I need a size 30 shorts.
You think that they all got like free?
Oh, guaranteed.
Mission for life. 3 hours, dude, 100 feet. That's gnarly. I can't, like,
I would just enjoy the view.
I can do heights, but it has to be in a safe way.
What's safer than having the thing locked up and in safety mode?
But is it? I mean, like, who knows if the machine all of a sudden jerks on and, like, you fall off the rail.
Better jerked on than jerked off, sir. Especially on a roller coaster.
And Dixon's back. All right, so B-side, choice cuts of the week, what you got?
What am I going to go with this week? I think, truthfully, and you're going to hate me because it's a beverage, but...
I don't hate your B-side, man. People enjoy it. You can pick whatever. I don't judge you like you judge me.
Oh, yeah, I'm super judgy.
Yeah.
You know me. Anyway, Panera Bread.
Okay, yeah.
Has this new lemonade in the hopper next to the soft drinks. It is
fountain lemonade.
Yeah, it is a blood orange lemonade made with carrots and agave syrup. So it's super.
Really?
Oh my God, it's so good. Have you ever had a blood orange?
Yeah.
They taste like raspberries.
Yeah, but you said blood carrot, or did you say
blood? No, blood orange. Blood orange and a little bit of carrot. So the carrot, the carrot's there to provide sweetness along with the agave syrup. Mm-hmm. You've got the lemon. You've got the blood orange, which makes it a funky color, which I love. And then it also provides a raspberry element.
What's the color? Like a purple?
No, it's like this super deep, like dehydrated pea color. Like dark orange.
Yellow, like just... dark, dark yellow, where you're dehydrated.
No, like dark, dark orange.
Dark, dark orange. I've never seen that pea color.
And it is, you've never been through that, but...
No.
I will tell you that it is the single best fountain beverage I've ever had in my entire life, and that includes Loganberry, which was my favorite prior.
Wow, you just dethroned Loganberry?
So I went, I had to meet a couple of guys out there with our friend Dan. You know Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So I order at the counter like you do at Panera. Now they have like this weird table service that they never had before. They give you the buzzer.
Yeah, and they'll drop it off for you if you want.
So I get my buzzer. I take my cup, and I ordered an iced tea. And I get over there, and there's now these delicious bubbling lemonades, because there's also a lemongrass lemonade that's also with agave syrup, which was fantastic. So I get over there and I'm like, I feel like all the drinks are the same price. I don't think they care if I take tea or lemonade. So I try it. I put a little and I drink it and I'm just like, oh my God. And immediately my hand just goes for the lever and I fill the large Panera cup like halfway. And
audience just, that's listening, his eyes are so big right now describing this.
And then just guzzled it down. Morning. Just straight guzzled it down. And then put like 6 ice cubes in and then filled it again and then drank half of it and then filled it again.
Can you refill it as many times when you buy something like that and fountain drink it?
I don't know, but I did. So meanwhile, like there's these two old ladies that are just staring me down because I'm taking up some real estate there, but I don't give a fuck, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Old lady, I spent my money too.
Yeah.
You know, you can wait for the deliciousness.
You spend your money like 4 drinks before that. But yeah.
So I go to the table. My food comes. I suck down this lemonade so fucking fast that I'm like, oh, excuse me, guys. I'll be right back. And I go and I fill it for a third time. Come back. Run to the bathroom. Come back. And literally down this iced tea before I even get halfway through my soup and salad. Fill it with the lemongrass just because I need to taste that. That's awesome too. But it also slows me down a little bit because now you're getting like that citric stomach. So
and your whole stomach's full of nothing but
lemonade.
Yeah, sugar, lemonade.
Well, it's agave syrup, so it's not really sugar. It metabolizes a little differently. So at this point, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to eat the bread. I'm going to eat the bread that comes with my salad and my soup. I'm going to soak.
You're like the drunk person who's eating the carbs before the meal. It's just sober up.
Yeah. So I'm chowing on the bread. I go and I get an unsweetened iced tea to kind of settle out the acid going on.
Mm-hmm.
And guzzled down the iced tea, went and got another blood orange lemonade.
Dude, you had like 7 iced teas while you were there?
I had, including the one I took with me, I had 8 32-ounce beverages in about 40 minutes.
32-ounce beverages, 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's like $40 at Panera Bread that you just...
I spent $279.
Dude, you're going to ruin it for everybody else who, like the...
I think the 18 people that are listening right now are not going to tell anybody.
Dude, you keep saying that, man. You give our show, like, little credit, man.
I'm talking 18 people at a time, son. Not total.
Oh, okay. Good breakdown. So it dethrones Loganberry.
It dethrones. Yeah, dethrones. Dude, there's no comparison between the
two
things.
So what do you call it? What's it called again?
It's called the Blood Orange Lemonade. And it's at Panera. I don't know that it's nationally rolled out. I just know that it's in Cicero, New York.
Oh, it's in the one in Cicero? And see if it's in the one near me.
And the other thing I will let you know is that was last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have returned to that Panera 4 times since. So 4 times in 7 days.
How many times in each of those times? Each of those 4?
No comment.
No comment. That's exactly what we do.
First time I went in after was the Monday after. Kind of use the excuse, I want my wife to try this. So I got there, I got just the lemonade.
Okay.
Went over, and I pulled the same routine. Filled it halfway, chugged it right down, put some ice in it, filled it, went and sat at a table, answered some emails, did some social media, slurped it down, went and got another one, sat, used their Wi-Fi, and then I got one to go. And I got probably 2/3 of it home.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a record. Well, how far is home?
From Cicero to my house is a solid 17 minutes.
That's good. See, but you're so full. I mean, when you walk, does your stomach just...
I get a little sloshy sometimes.
Yeah, the sloshy, as much liquid as you put in there.
But my stomach's also way smaller, so like it's a good thing.
You're constantly peeing.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to stop? How many times did you have to pee immediately after that first 8 32-ounce Drake excursion?
I'm pretty sure I pissed 3 times at Panera, and then on the way back to the station, I stopped at Speedway because I got...
You had to go pee so bad?
Well, and I had a coupon for a free drink from there.
So you had to get another drink. You're so that thirsty?
I got a 55-ounce orange Gatorade.
I hope at your funeral you just have like fountain drinks out for everyone, and that's how we all celebrate you.
That's
just
cool,
nothing
man.
But sugary, awesome, tasty fountain drinks.
All right, can I have a second one for this week?
Yeah, of course. I have two.
I'm going to forget about next week's. Starburst has their summer flavor packet out.
Oh,
right
yeah,
now.
I like that.
Have you had them?
No.
Lemonade.
Yeah, I heard.
Orangeade, strawberry milkshake, cherry punch, and the coup de fucking gras, grape slushy. I will tell you right now that if anybody that's listening to this podcast has any connection to the M&M Mars company and can somehow get me nothing but the grape slushy, when I'm talking like 30 pounds of them, I will pay you cash money for them. They are the most delicious candy on God's green earth.
The grape slushy. Okay, I'm on it, man. I'm going to contact him. Grape slushy. See if they sponsor you. Grape slushy
Starburst. And here's the thing. Usually,
is it only here for the summer, like only for a couple months?
Probably,
so
yeah.
So you're like buying it in bulk then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the cool thing is the Target has them, was it two for $4? So I bought 16 of them. Nothing wrong with dropping $30 on candy, right? I mean, it is Easter.
Exactly. Are you giving it to your niece or are you keeping it for yourself?
I may have picked out my two favorite flavors and then gave the rest to the kids.
So you didn't like all of them?
I do like all of them.
What's your second favorite?
Oh, Orangeade, of course.
Orangeade?
Oh.
I thought you would be the... what was the one?
The cherry punch. The cherry punch is good, but it kind of just tastes like the regular cherry.
Okay.
The strawberry milkshake is my least favorite because it has like that Lifesaver strawberry cream. Ish, kind of like that. The fake vanilla finish is what turns me off from that
like
one.
Like the Lifesavers with the fake filling, like the.
No, like the Lifesaver Pops, where it's like a flavor and a cream.
Yep.
And if there wasn't that weird aftertaste, I would probably dig it a lot. The lemonade is good. It is very different from the regular lemon Starburst. It actually has a sweeter, juicier flavor to it.
Yeah.
But man, that grape slushy is. Like Wu-Tang Clan, nothing to fuck with.
So when did you buy those?
Tuesday night?
When did you finish them?
Oh, they're not gone.
Oh, you still got them?
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. I thought for sure you would have
finished those in 48
hours.
Dude, let me tell you something. I got into bag 3 or 4 and was just pissed, like sitting in my chair at my coffee table sorting these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like pulling all the grapes and the orangeades out. And bag 1... had like 7, and I was like, oh, motherfucker. And bag 2 had like 13, and I was like, oh, motherfucker.
Because you wanted more.
Yeah, because it wasn't well-balanced at all. Dude, I opened bag number 4, 31 grape slushies.
Out of how many usually come in there?
65, 70.
So over 50%.
About 50%. So I ended up... grand total, when all was said and done out of the 16 bags, I got just under 200. It was like 180-something grape slushies. There were...
Wait, so you got these bags. Mm-hmm. You open them up, and you literally counted...
I sorted them. Why is that funny?
Dude, you're a grown-ass man who works 2 jobs. You're talking about all this time you get to spend. And
why the fuck do you think I work so hard? So that I can go out and blow $32 on a bunch of candy?
What you bought is not what I'm laughing at. That's fine. I know you in that. That's normal. You, I could picture you at your dining room table.
No, opening it was up a the coffee bags, table.
Coffee table. I could picture you opening up like when we were younger and we were getting like baseball cards and you're laying them out and you're like, okay, here's the grape slushies and here's the lemonades. And you're getting super ticked off that you didn't get a certain amount. And then you see the pile just grow and your eyes get bigger and bigger. And you are an adult.
Yeah, so? Don't tell me how to live my life.
I'm not telling you.
Would you rather have me out on the streets doing cocaine?
Well, so we've jumped from counting grape slushy Starburst to doing cocaine.
Well, I'm just saying,
man.
Like, would you rather have me out on the streets, like, doing hood rat shit? Or would you rather have me home safe and sound with my beautiful wife counting candy?
Either way, you're counting something that's going to get you high.
That candy don't get me high, son.
Oh, man, it does. Put you in
I'll tell you this, though, man. Like, I did overdo it. Because my poop was green.
From that? Or is from it from the fucking no. agave syrup?
No. This is 100%. When you eat, have you ever had too much grape soda and you shit green?
No.
Try
I mean,
it.
I've had grape soda, not no, too
like,
much.
No, like, I would do this experiment for me over Easter weekend, would you
no,
please?
No, I am not drinking. I don't drink soda.
You have to.
I don't. It I haven't doesn't had have soda in like in 7 years. I know, but I was addicted to
then
it.
Do this for me. Then do this for
it's
me.
Crack it, man, for Diet Coke.
I need you to go get the BJ's box of grape Capri Suns.
Okay.
No artificial flavors, no artificial sugars.
Just so my poop can
turn
look,
neon green, yes.
So just so it can... No, I don't need to do that to believe you. Why don't you do this? Why don't you continue to eat all those Starbursts, drop a deuce,
I'm gonna take a
picture.
They're Starburstuses.
Starburstuses. Drop it like it's hot, give us that epic grump, take a picture, send it to me, and then I'll post it out to our listeners on Twitter.
Okay, so I'm a grown-ass man who sits at a table and sorts candy, and that makes me less of a man, but taking a picture of my shit and sending it to my friend is super mature.
Oh, it's more mature than me having to go buy a case of Capri Sun.
Let's ask the listeners.
All right, ask.
What is more mature? A guy that works 80 hours a week enjoying his hobby of buying candy and eating it, or taking a picture of his shit and sending it to his friend.
That's not even the debate. No, listeners, this is the debate. A guy who is asking his co-host / friend to go drink a case of Capri Sun so his shit turns neon
green.
Dude,
I can knock out a case of Capri Sun during the course of a fucking podcast.
But you're asking me to do it. Or something that you already are currently doing, consuming a lot of Starburstuses, grape
soda.
See,
add an extra sisses.
And just taking the picture so then I can see this amazing neon shit that you have.
It glows in the dark, motherfucker.
Yeah, so I'd rather see it from you.
You'd rather see a giant pile of my feces.
Rather than me shit out neon poop
Do you not understand how delicious grape Capri Suns are?
I do not. I don't like this. I don't like sugary drinks, man.
They're not sugary.
I don't like fruity drinks. And I know I'm setting you up for many jokes right here, but I do not like... I don't...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I just... It's never my thing, man. Too many extra calories, too much this.
Oh, my God.
I don't even drink cranberry juice.
Mean 168-pound machine that lives on candy and marijuana.
Yeah. But... You also had to go through a lot in order for that to be possible.
Yeah.
Before, when you probably had the same style of drinking.
Oh, God, no, dude. It was all bad food when I was fat.
Oh, okay. So,
when I was fat as fuck, dude, it would be like, no, dude, like my wife and I have had this conversation because I eat around 8 small meals a day, one of which is candy-based. I'm not embarrassed
about
that. But
no carbs after 8?
Well, it depends on.
10?
Yeah, it's one of those things because I'm an insomniac, so I really only sleep from about 3:30 until 7:30 every day, and that's if I'm lucky. So I cut the carbs around 9 or 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I start smoking weed the minute I get home.
Seriously, every night, like the minute you get home, like you just walk right in there and you're just.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand that like my brain doesn't stop all day long. You know this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so when I get home,
I'm not judging. That's cool, though.
The easiest thing for me is just to get home. I rip one bong hit, just one.
Yeah.
Exhale. I have a cigarette, and then I start my night. I make my wife dinner. I'll do the dishes. I'll do some chores around the house. I'll go do some stuff outside. I don't get like baked when I get home.
Yeah.
I just need that one little thing.
Now, what is that one decompress. Little thing? Do? It helps you decompress.
Oh, got it. It makes my brain go.
Does it?
It's like taking your shoes off when you get home. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's like for me, like having a nice cold beer on like a hot day after a long day of work and just coming in there and you're like, thirst quencher. Does weed hurt your sex life?
Not really, no.
It helps? Because yeah. you've heard people like, you know, when they get baked so much that, you know, things aren't operating or they're just not in the mood as much. They don't have that drive.
I have never had an issue with my dick ever.
No, and that's so much operation, but more of like mindset.
Oh, dude, I get high. I get horny as fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I would be if I got high.
Eh.
No?
I think maybe like 6 months in, sure.
Yeah.
I think first couple of months, you are the kind of dude that would take a couple of hits.
Oh, I'd be like tweaking out.
Melt into your couch and giggle like a little girl while I played you like YouTube videos and old episodes of Wonder Shows in. And
first of all, that is 100% true. The issue is, though, I'd be freaking out, man.
I don't think you would. I think you and I have enough of a rapport. That like I would knock down all the defenses that weed would put up for you.
Yeah, why is it? I used to the couple of times that I was able to partake, it was like my buddy Joe who listens, shout out to you, who had like a 4 foot bong. That was the first time.
It was
just
too much for a smoker.
No. That was the only way I could do it. I couldn't do it off my roommate's joints or anything like that. So I did that and I felt like fucking pimp, king of the world, went out to the bar that night. Normally, I don't like to go and approach women and talk to them. I was just like, hey, how you doing? I got a number.
Lowers your inhibitions.
Yeah, it was cool as hell. So the next night, I was like, let's do it again. So I went back to my buddy's house. I got sick as a mofo. Not throwing up, but like.
Did you drink first?
I drank after.
Yeah, usually you got to do one or the other.
Never,
for me,
no, I didn't drink first. I definitely drank after because I was out at the bar. My point is, though, when I did it with him, I didn't have the paranoia. When I've done
it's all about
by myself,
who you're around in the setting you're in.
I always freak out when I'm with my girls.
Makes
I always
sense.
Freak out like that. I'm just like super self-conscious, and then I'm like thinking something's happening to my body. But you do the stuff that is body.
Yeah, I tend to stick to the.
I don't want
the sativas.
Mind shit. Yeah, I want the body stuff just to relax.
Indica can make you go a little loopy. But enough talking about my weed consumption. Let's jump into your B-side.
I have two. And we're going to go pee.
Yeah, we're going to pee, and then we're going to jump into your B-sides. All right, so Jay, what do you got in your weird B-side?
I have two, because we missed last week. The first one is something that dropped last night at midnight, and I was up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning listening to it.
Please tell me it's not the fucking Star Wars trailer.
No.
Okay, good.
It's Kendrick Lamar's new album. Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I only got to hear the first two tracks because I've been busier than hell, but it's pretty fucking fire.
I can't. It blows away any album that I've heard in at least in the last five, six years from beginning to end. It is the last two songs, too. It's insane.
I'll get to those later tonight.
Damn. So it came out midnight on Good Friday. We're actually recording this on Good Friday. Dude, the album, it's completely original, true storytelling. The beats, the souls behind it, like literally every song is a chapter in the story that he's telling on that album.
Yeah.
And it all comes to an end with the very last song. Dude, just the mixing of the different genres, like old school. He like touches old school hip hop, but gives it a modern twist to it.
Much like that new Tribe record.
Yes, yeah. I would say it's a little bit similar, but except for the beats are a little bit more of a standard '90s hip hop, whereas Tribe was kind of going in a whole bunch of different type of genres with their beats. But dude, that shit is insane. And the coolest rumor is. I'm not saying this is true, but this was like all over Twitter last night because I was waiting for it to hit Spotify because it dropped on Apple Music first, is that supposedly this album was supposed to originally release on Easter, on Sunday, but then they pushed it up to Good Friday. And on this album, he dies on it. And it's not ruining anything. He dies on it. And then there's a rumor that there's a second album that debuts on Easter, and it's him resurrecting the same as Jesus resurrecting around the holiday. And in the different album covers and the lyrics in the song. I mean, dude, he has a song where he's telling a message, and it's like, rewind, and it rewinds like, but when you play the rewind and the it actually is the real words of telling a song. It's not just doing it just to do it.
Right.
It's actually there. It blew me away, man. I can't stop listening to it. So Kendrick Lamar, damn album. You can stream it on Spotify, Apple Music, buy it. And the other one, I think you would like this show. I don't know if you know it. It's called Brockmire. And it just debuted 2 weeks ago on IFC. You can, only 3 episodes in. You can stream it, download their app on demand. But it stars Hank Azaria from, you know, The Simpsons fame as far as voicing and a bunch of other stuff. And
Herman's Amanda Peet.
Yeah. So this is in the same. It's raunchy, vulgar, super, super good. It's in the tone of Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals. I remember a couple weeks ago you were saying those are your style shows. So this one is a famed Major League Baseball announcer who suffers an embarrassing and very public meltdown live on the air after discovering his beloved wife's serial infidelity, decides to reclaim his career and love life in a small town a decade later. Here's the kicker, though. Hank Azaria, the entire time, whether he's on the mic or in his everyday real life, talks like a Major League Baseball player.
He's good at that.
So when he does that, like in sex, like, hey, I am all the way in. This is fantastic. Oh, there's a fastball. Finger in the keister. Didn't expect that. Nonstop. Whether it's sex, whether it's he's pissed, it is this crazy old school baseball voice throughout. And it is, it's not one of those shows. Like Eastbound and Down, to me, didn't have nonstop laugh out moments. It was one of those shows where
it was dark.
It consistently put a smile on your face and you were enjoying it. That's this show. Like there are moments where I like belted out laughing, and then there are other moments where I just thought it was funny, but I just had it contained. So Brockmire, IFC, 30-minute comedy. It's only 8 episodes. The 3 in, fantastic. If you like geared around sports and geared around raunchiness, this is it, man. And it goes there. They can say stuff and the F word and all that because it's on IFC. But so Brockmire and all Kendrick right. Lamar, man. Check those two out this weekend. That's my B-side, brother.
All right, what's next? Let's get going.
The next is a WrestleMania recap of our bets.
We are now into the wrestling hour from right now, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, I don't have a lot. So here is the deal.
I won.
You didn't win, dude. You can listen to the show, and I have it written down right here. By the way, can I just say for the record, you didn't even give a prediction for the Undertaker Roman Reigns. We didn't even talk about that match. We skipped over that match entirely. I listened to that episode again twice today. Nothing in there. I'm like, how the hell did we skip over that? No reference. So we didn't pick that one.
I picked Reigns.
Yeah, so I had put Reigns
that
toward, too.
Put that towards my winning tally.
After, okay, so we both picked Reigns on that. So let's just say this. We kind of sucked in this. We both got Triple H and Rollins wrong. You said it'd be a schmoz ending and Samoa Joe would come out. I said Triple H would win, but I didn't get into how. We both picked Enzo and Kaz for the tag team match. Wrong on that. We were both wrong on the Raw women's. I picked Charlotte, and then I'd say I'd come back to it at the end of the episode to change. I never did that, so I was wrong on that. You picked Nia Jax, who almost killed Charlotte the next night. We were both wrong on Dean and Corbin. We both had Corbin on that. We were both wrong on the Battle Royal. We both had Braun Strowman on that. We both had the final two was, I think, Braun and Big Show, and they weren't even in, like, the final 10.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Fuck Mojo Rawley. That dude sucks.
You know why he won.
I know, because of the Gronk thing.
Yeah, it was all just exactly.
It's all about getting the rub.
Yep. Actually, kind of like his quieter demeanor. I hated the whole
he
stay
sucks
pumped
in the
24/7.
He sucks in the ring. That's all I'm going to say.
I can honestly say I don't know if I've ever watched a full Mojo Rawley match one-on-one. It's always, there's always
I'd rather
some
have somebody
gimmick.
Else shit in my pants than watch Mojo Rawley wrestle.
Oh, jeez. Is it Neon?
Sometimes.
Oh, nice. We both got right. The SmackDown Women's, we both picked Naomi. We both picked Neville and Aries, and that was the match you were most excited for. So you have anything to say about that match? So, that was a good match.
It was all right.
It got 21 minutes.
I know.
That's great for them. What were you? What did you want the match to have that it didn't? What was missing?
A little more storytelling, a little less spot monkeying.
I feel like that's the problem with that whole division right now, is that the storytelling in the ring isn't there. It's all spots, and they try to do these corny stories in the back, and it isn't.
And now you add Kalisto.
Well, yeah. You add Kalisto, and then you had, and then the whole our boy, dad boy, turning. Like,
I hate
did you
Perkins.
See that chant on this week? Was it SmackDown or Raw?
You still suck.
You still suck.
You still suck.
Which makes you think, like, you didn't even say he sucked before. So, yeah. Like, going heel just means, I don't know, it was weird, but it was funny. KO Jericho, we both got right. Both said KO. AJ Shane, we were both right. We were super wrong on this. We thought the tag team and Enzo and Kaz would open it up. The show makes sense why you want to hold it with the Hardys debuting. But I was happy with that match, AJ Shane. That was pretty good for a guy who's not a wrestler. I mean, AJ can just make everybody look awesome who he's with.
Shane is super underrated as a worker.
Yeah, he really is. He puts himself out there. Here's a question for you. Who is better in the ring and making their opponents look great or good, or putting on a very entertaining to great match every single time he's in the ring, and AJ Styles, that you have seen in your illustrious wrestling?
Well, there's the obvious answer.
Who's that?
Ric Flair. Ric Flair could wrestle a broom, and it would be a 60-minute classic.
But he wasn't as...
He carried so many guys. Go back and watch the 80s stuff that you didn't watch when you were a kid.
But he's not considered one of the great workers in the ring. I mean, somebody who can...
Are you fucking kidding me? That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said on
the podcast. No, I'm being serious. Like, he's not considered one of those guys that could do a bunch of stuff. Like, he was more of psychological storytelling.
He was one of the most solid ring performers of our time.
I'm not saying a performer. I'm saying the actual wrestling of... I'm not debating that Ric Flair isn't great, but I'm just saying the stuff that AJ does is Ric Flair never did. Like, when he went to the top rope...
It was a different time period.
Yeah, so I'm saying, is there anybody that...
Flair.
Besides him?
Shawn Michaels. And as much as I hate him as a person... Mick Foley DDP. Could make anybody look fucking great.
Yeah, that's true. Mick Foley was awesome. AJ Shane, Brock Goldberg. We were both right on that. You were wrong on how the match would lay out.
Excuse me?
You were wrong on how the match would lay out. You said that Brock was going to smash him and that he would get a couple suplexes.
But I still won the over-under, which gives me an additional...
Let me get to it. See, okay. I have you in red, me in blue. All right. So we've won that. Okay. So the ones that you have won. Cena.
So at this point, we're tied.
Correct. We're tied. That's why I saved it. See how I'm revealing it? The ones that you have won, Cena, Miz, Cena versus Miz. You pick Cena. I actually say in the show that Cena will win, but for fantasy booking-wise, I'm going to pick Miz. I was wrong on that. Orton Wyatt, completely. This is probably the one that I missed full on. I have 100% thought Wyatt would win, should win, still feel that way. You had Orton and you were deadlocked on that. You probably got it from inside information.
Nope.
Somebody that you know. And then you were right with the over-under Brock match. I rewound this match like three times and timed it.
Dude, that puts me up by three.
I haven't even gotten to the ones that I won.
Just saying.
Technically, you didn't pick Taker Reigns, but you're saying Reigns now, so I guess you win that one.
But so are you.
No, I say Reigns. It in there. We didn't talk about the match, and I say, yeah, I got Reigns is going to win because it goes into the next one. We picked who would be the last match to end Mania. You said it would be Brock Goldberg. I said it would be Taker Reigns. And then I say Reigns is going to win, but we didn't get into the match and we didn't do predictions.
Obviously, you know I would have picked Reigns knowing that Taker was retiring.
Yeah. And then...
All right, so you're up. I'm up by two now.
Yeah, you can take the Taker Reigns out, because what...
Are we good? There we go.
Are we good?
No, it's... Is it moving?
Do. We're having technical difficulties here.
It looks like it's still going. Are we still going?
I really, truly hope so.
I think we're good.
Okay. So another one that we bet on was how many New Day spots there would be. You had 7. I had 5. I win.
How do you win?
Because they had less than 5. It wasn't the exact amount. It was like the minutes, the 4.5,
it's like
the 7.5.
Price is Right. We both bid over, so we both lose.
What? Why are you making the prices right?
Because that's the gold standard, motherfucker.
Oh, gosh. Since when? No, man. You control so much on here. I won that one.
Nope.
You didn't even pick Reigns.
I'm not even taking a win on that one. I'm just saying we both lost.
Okay, but then you're taking a win on Reigns when I say it in the podcast, but you didn't even give an answer. But you're saying because. So if I give you that, you got to give me that one.
That's not true.
Whatever. And I said the Hardy Boys would show up. You said that they would come on Raw. That was another.
Even if I give you that one, I'm still up by one and I win.
Even if you give me what one? The Hardy Boys?
No,
or
the over under, the 5-7.
That's because you weren't supposed to check Reigns. You didn't say Reigns on there. I'm giving you Reigns now. I'll give you your Arizona because I know you would have picked Reigns, but you didn't say it.
That's not my fault, man. You distracted me with something.
Then that means I did a good job.
You were trying to show me all those nudie pictures of Milena.
Stupid Arizona aid cans. All right, so I lost the bet. That means I got to give you 12.
12 aids.
Arizona aid cans.
Lemonade, orangeade, grapeade. I'll take the watermelon juice.
Dude, you're going to get what I gave you, man.
That ain't true. We're going together.
What?
I'm going to pick them out. We're going to act like you my dad.
So now I've got to go shopping with you?
Yeah.
That's messed up, man. I hate Reigns even more now. Spice. Technically, happens. I shouldn't even give that to you. You didn't say Reigns on the podcast. Even though I know you were picking, you didn't say it. Therefore,
so
we
take
tied.
That one out, I still win by one.
No, that's what pushed you up because I'm giving myself the whole under. You said 7, I said 5, and I was closest to the number.
Yeah, I think that one's a complete and total draw because we both went over. We were both wrong. Right. Admit that we were both wrong. We were both wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was close. But you were also wrong with how long it would last. You said the Brock Lesnar match would last 2 minutes.
But we did an over-under. We didn't do a specific time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Done. All right, let's move on. Superstar shake-up breakdown. Okay, here we go. Fucking A. Trades to Raw. Apollo Crews. The Miz and Maurice. Dean Ambrose. Kurt Hawkins. Bray Wyatt. Kalisto. Heath Slater and Rhino. Elias Sampson. Alexa Bliss. Mickie James. David.
Elias doesn't count. He just debuted.
Yeah, but he's debuted, but he's on the Raw roster. David Otunga. So I guess my question would be, for Raw right now, who are the winners and losers of that? Who do you think it benefits? First, let's go with the winners. Paulo, Miz, Ambrose, Hawkins, Wyatt, Kalisto, Slater, Rhino, Elias, Bliss, James, Mickey, Otunga.
I think Alexa Bliss is the big winner in this one. She becomes the new Charlotte. I think the rest of them get lost in the mid-card shuffle.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that I agree with you as far as Bliss. I think Mickey James can be a winner from this. I don't know what they're going to do with Bray. I wonder why they separated him or why they brought him over there because, like you said, he's just going to be in the mid-card for at least the next year because you know it's Brock Reigns, and then it's going to be Brock Strowman in the summer. So it's like, what do you
– It'll end up being Bray Ambrose for the Intercontinental title, guaranteed.
Yeah. I guess you could say Ambrose because he was sucking on SmackDown. Now,
he's going to suck even more on Raw.
Now all three Shield members are on Raw, and they're all face, supposedly. But they're all written in his face. I think the biggest loser for me is Miz and Maurice. They were on fire on SmackDown.
He went from the edge of being world champion to now not even being in the race.
No, not even close. And then you take away Talking Smack. He was the biggest winner of that program, besides maybe Daniel Bryan, because of what he brought every week. But Miz, as far as a performer, crushed it on that. And now you're taking that away from him. So literally the only time we ever get to see Miz is anything that he's doing in the ring at mid-card level, which is probably going to be corny and hokey. He's
Especially
easily
now
the
that
biggest
the Cena
loser.
Thing's over.
Yeah, easily the biggest loser, which sucks. Trades to SmackDown. Byron Saxton, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shining Stars, Jinder Mahal, Tamina, Snuka, Charlotte Flair, Sin Cara, Rusev and Lana, The New Day. Who are the winners and losers out of that?
Charlotte by far. Gives her a new place to go and dominate. I think Rusev definitely needed to get out of the situation he was in, and now he's going to be featured as a main heel. Jinder, I've heard, is up for a mid-card push on Raw, so that was a good thing getting off of SmackDown because he and Kurt Hawkins were the jobbers.
No, he's on SmackDown, Jinder. He was on Raw. He's going to SmackDown.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you said that he was a...
Because he was one of the glorified jobbers. So they brought Hawkins over to replace him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're saying he's going to make card push on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Raw, sorry.
And that, no, getting him off Raw.
Raw, uh-huh.
I think the New Day could be cool, but I've also heard that they're not going to bring them back until Kofi's healed, which is like 5 weeks away.
Yeah. I have to say, honestly, I feel like 90% of Raw was losers. I don't see a loser on this SmackDown. I think Kevin Owens, first of all, you get away from the same type of matches. Him versus AJ, that's going to be pretty dope. And just him on Talking Smack and things like that.
I just hate they brought him and Sammy again.
That's what sucks. But Sami Zayn, it's monster for him. That's huge. I think he needed that. Shining Stars, they weren't doing anything on Raw. This could definitely help. I like their little heel turn that they did. Charlotte, obviously. Dude, I think Rusev and Lana, and Lana looks like she's going to come
Lana's
as a performer.
Wrestle.
Yeah, I think it's awesome for Rusev. He could be a badass heel or face on that because it's just 2 hours of just, and then them on Talking Smack. I love SmackDown. I love SmackDown before, and I love SmackDown even more. And they kept AJ, which was huge. They kept the number one guy in the company. Love it. I don't really see a loser here other than, which was one of the funniest and most dick ribs of Tamina and Shane sold it well, like, oh yeah, you know, second generation and blah 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 blah, and Tamina walks out. It was awesome because it totally swerved everybody, but dude, you totally made her a jobber. You made her look like shit. She means nothing now because people were like, even Shane on Talking Smack after was just like, yeah, it was good to, you know, play around with the crowd and, you know, play with their emotions when they're waiting for a star. I'm like, damn, dude, you're like totally roasting her.
Did you notice that he said one false thing in introducing Tamina?
What?
Second generation superstar whose father is a Hall of Famer and a former world heavyweight champion. Guess who?
Oh, yeah,
he never won a world title.
Well, they are kind of talking about other promotions now.
He never won anything that was ever recognized as a world champion.
Didn't he win world champion in Northeast or something like that?
The two biggest titles he ever had were the United States title back in 78, 79, and the original ECW Eastern Championship Wrestling
title.
That was never recognized by anybody as a true world championship.
Damn. So that was awesome. Other big moves over the last week. Kurt Angle as the new Raw GM. I'm loving.
Hate it.
Well, you don't like Kurt Angle.
No, I don't.
I think he's awesome, dude. He just adds a different personality.
He's so fucking corny.
But he's not doing that full-on corny Kurt Angle, that comedic side.
It's coming.
He's doing it, well, as of right now, I'm just judging now in two episodes. I thought that he's done very well. I'm excited. I've always been a huge fan of him. Drew McIntyre debuted on NXT. He's back.
It's where he belongs.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see. Can he have the same mojo that he had in TNA?
I didn't think he was that good in TNA.
Well, he was a champ, and he had a lot of buzz. So let's see what he can do with NXT and down there.
He's just so generic.
Yeah, he's never done anything for me, but at least it's another name. I mean, I don't really care. I just want to see.
I mean, if you're going to bring somebody back, man, go grab Sandow.
I think it ended on bad terms. All I know is I'm super excited for Adam Cole when he comes. And the biggest signee, I think, and the one that I am happiest about is Jim Ross is back with WWE. Whether or not how many pay-per-views he announces, where he's at, just him and his influence and his knowledge being in the company and then being able to call big matches, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome for him and his personal life right now to be able to have something that's legit. And it shows you how much WWE values him or how big of a name he is, because he's also going to continue with Access until that contract is done doing New Japan. So you're having a guy on WWE as well with New Japan. So that was pretty interesting.
There are two giant things that you have just kind of glossed over, fella.
Probably not. It's probably the very next thing that I saved to the end because we were just going through like roster changes and stuff.
Right, and there are two big ones that you missed.
I'm not sure.
The next Ty one. Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger.
Debuted on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, he was not in the... Oh, that was the week before. Yeah,
doesn't
Dillinger
matter.
And...
Nakamura.
Yeah, Nakamura. Oh, yeah, I didn't even talk about that. Good job, man. That was 2 weeks ago, dude. Like, I can only, like, remember so
Nakamura
much.
Nakamura had a fantastic interaction with Ziggler this week on SmackDown. Yeah. One of the best TV segments I've seen with a foreign wrestler in the E.
Nakamura.
Okay, funny story. So, week one, the violin starts, and my wife immediately perks up. She's like, what's this? And I'm like, I'm not going to ruin it for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just watch it unfold, because I think you're going to enjoy it. And it's the big entrance, and she's like, who's that gay Chinaman?
She called him a Chinaman?
And I was like, well, she voted for Trump, bro.
What?
I told you that. We talked about that on the podcast.
Not that your wife voted for Trump?
Yes,
no,
we did.
You said his family. I didn't know she did.
Yeah, wow, we talked about it. Go back and listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, A, he's Japanese. B, he's probably the best pound-for-pound worker next to AJ Styles in the world. Just watch the intro. So she's like, so is he supposed to be gay? And I'm like, what makes you think he's gay? He's very effeminate, and he's wearing gay clothes.
What? That's like every wrestler.
Gay clothes. Well, yeah. I mean, look at that leather jacket. It's so gay. And his pants are all like baggy and leather. So gay. Like, wait a minute. Is his name Shitstain Nakamura? And I was like, no, it's Shinsuke. And she's like, the announcer just called him Shitstain. Rewind it. And I rewound it. And dude, JBL called him Shitstain Nakamura.
He did not.
Not like on purpose, but it was definitely like a slip.
Well, I don't know. With JBL, which was going to be my next thing, with it all up in the news with everything. Maybe he did do it on purpose.
You could definitely tell that he didn't because there wasn't the right emphasis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, he slipped and called him Shitstain Nakamura.
So she thinks he looks like a gay Asian guy. I can see like the way his man, he just acts like a rock star. Everything from Steven Tyler to, like, I was going to say Freddie Mercury. But
well,
he
she
gay.
Said the mouth guard also seemed a little gay.
That's blocking penis from going in.
Well, it also protects. Keeps the teeth off the...
Yeah, when he bent down and got right in the face and the camera zoomed in on him and that face. And that
I think he's fucking fabulous.
He's awesome to watch. I was really excited for him and Miz.
I could give a fuck about him and Miz, dude, because
I was excited for
contrast
that.
Of styles. I want to see Ziggler and Nakamura.
Yeah.
Like, that actually has me excited.
Yeah. No, that's huge. He's their top star. That's why I was surprised that they kept AJ, but I'm glad they did, because eventually that's got to be the WrestleMania match.
You want my
theory? Yeah, of course I want your theory.
I think Baylor hooks up with Anderson and Gallows, and it's the Baylor Club.
Yeah.
And then you get AJ, Nakamura, and Adam Cole.
Yes, for the Bullet Club.
And then, well, I don't think they can call it the Bullet Club, but there'll be another club. It's got to be a, you know what I mean? Like
the Bazooka Club.
But I
think.
Dude,
you had me at Adam Cole with
and then,
AJ.
Oh, and then at WrestleMania next year, you have the Battle of the Clubs.
You do realize, I do listen back to our episodes every now and then, and all these predictions that you give are awesome, and they never come true.
Right.
Like, you disappoint me, because I'm so high. I'm like, yeah, next year it's going to be Nakamura, and it's going to be AJ and Adam Cole versus the
motherfuckers should
Club.
Hire me.
And then it's like, okay, it's AJ Styles versus freaking JBL or some... Or Byron Saxton versus Nakamura. Some stupid thing like that. Damn you, man. That would be awesome.
Sorry I'm the best fantasy booker on the planet, but hey.
You're one of them, dude. You're up there. Okay, so speaking of JBL, let's get right into this. This is the big news. This is the stuff that I really wanted to get. Oh, yeah, wait, real quick. I heard that that there might be some... Okay, so a little inside information that I have with people who know people, who work with people, that... WWE might be doing some trades or lending out certain performers to New Japan.
It's called a talent exchange.
Talent exchange. So they can train over there and kind of get like a bunch of, you know.
I wouldn't call it training. I would say that it's an opportunity to learn a new style while also attracting the Japanese audience to your American product, which happens to be recently launched in Japan.
And New Japan is going to be released, is going to do a tour and have a stay in the United States starting this summer. So it makes sense. So I heard that Ziggler might be going to New Japan and some other wrestlers, and then we would, and then it, we, like I'm fucking with the E. E would get Okada.
Whoever told you that's a fucking moron.
What?
That's outlandish, dude.
Uh-huh. Okay, man. That's what I heard. I also heard that a couple other wrestlers that are active on the roster right now, what's his name? Who's the lame Wyatt guy? I shouldn't say
Eric
lame.
Rowan?
Yeah, Rowan. I'm sorry, Eric Rowan, if you listen to this.
He sucks anyway.
Well, you know what? You can be the negative one. The dude has made it to the big time. He's just as
Michael.
How
I have no
idea. I heard Rowan. I heard Luke Harper. I heard some of these guys might go over there and be able to create maybe new characters, new persona, new matchups, and then have all that buzz when they come back. And that we would get, we again, fudge, E would get Okada. What do you think about that? No. There's that Okada, Nakamura, and AJ.
I think Cole's way more likely.
That would be much better, too. Because, baby, he's the man. So, anyway, that would be cool, though, right?
Sure.
Would it not be cool?
I think there's aspects that need to be worked out of it. I think there has
happen,
to be.
But it's still, that's what I heard. So I thought it would be cool, especially with Okada. That would be badass. If Okada came here,
I'm
he
more
talk
interested in
years.
Seeing, I mean, based on what you said, I would be more interested in seeing Ziggler learn some strong style stuff.
Like,
And then come back a different guy.
You think he could be like Omega?
Oh, he physically, he's way bigger than Kenny Omega. You're talking about a dude that would come back
Omega's
a la AJ
big,
Styles.
Yeah, Omega's pretty big. Like, since he's been over there, he's got right. What I'm saying is that
Omega,
style.
Omega's
like,
5'9 in real life. Ziggler's 6 feet tall in real life.
But what I'm saying, that style, like that craziness, because Omega can mix the aerial with the strong style, at least in the few matches
so
I've
Ziggler.
Seen. I know, that's what I'm saying. He goes over there and he elevates, because right now they... He can't reinvent himself right now on the E roster. They just don't let that happen. It's the same shit.
You never know. I mean, it might be they may be testing him on his Japan-ness or his worthiness to go to Japan with Nakamura.
That's what I'm saying. You're helping me with my inside
hypothesis.
Gossip. So let's get with this Mauro Ranallo and JBL. So people who don't follow wrestling. Basically, one of the WWE announcers who won 2016 Bets Announcer, he does Showtime Boxing, he does Bellator, MMA fights. He is very well respected. He is very talented. And when the E brought him in, the fans, the talent, everyone was super excited because he was a different style, and he brought a realness and authenticity to it rather than
much like JR.
Exactly, much like JR. So he lasted about what, a year and a half, because he was at Mania last year, so I think it was like right before Mania, so gosh, not even a year then. So the first story you heard is that he didn't show up because of weather, because it was like a blizzard on
the
northeast,
and that was part true.
So he wasn't able to make it. Then the next week you heard that he wasn't feeling well, so he wasn't. Then WWE stopped reporting on it and didn't update. And then Dave Meltzer and a bunch of other people who actually did some investigating and try to get to the bottom
of it. Well, I mean, he's publicly stated in the past that he has mental health issues, that he has bipolar.
And bipolar, and what was the other one? It was something else.
Manic depressant.
Yeah. And so, but he
those
works,
two things typically go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've dated enough suicide girls.
And that was your top five list, too. He works through it. He doesn't try to hide it. Like I said, he's very good at his job. So he was teamed up with JBL, who has been with WWE for a couple decades now. And There have been stories out from wrestler biography books and you know, shoot interviews and all of this that he was a bully, or that he would, you know, the story with Edge. Edge was kind of new on the scene, and he was in the shower, and JBL, naked with just a cowboy hat, comes behind him and soaps up his ass. There were stories about stealing things and, you know, trying to beat you up and, you know, fucking with you in every possible way. So I guess he got his claws into Mauro Ranallo. And it messed him up so bad that his dream gig was, and he's stated this in many interviews, Ranallo's dream gig was to be with E and to announce on the big stage, WrestleMania and all that. And JBL effed with him so bad that the dude hit a major, major depression level and left. And just, he's like, I can't take this anymore. This coincided with Justin Roberts, who was a former ring announcer for 12, 13, 14 years for WWE.
Well, he wasn't a ring announcer for that entire tenure. He was training. He was a ring boy.
But
he was an announcer but he for ended 5 up being to 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, ring announcer. And he wrote a book that doesn't, it's not like a tell-all, all, nothing but scandals. There's a lot of positiveness in it. One of our mutual friends is reading the book, and so I'm kind of getting updates on it. But he talks about all the shit that he went through with JBL, to the point where, like, JBL stole his passport or told another wrestler to steal his passport, because, and that wrestler did because he was afraid. And this dude was in Germany, and he had to take a flight to London, mm-hmm. and then from, he had to go to the U.S. Embassy to get his passport there, then fly to L.A. or like New York, to New York to L.A., then he had to get in a car to drive to Arizona for SmackDown, and if he didn't, then he was going to be fired. So he did all of this all as part of a ruse. So I guess people know about this, and we can talk about the bullying aspect. I've never liked that in anything, whether it's football, whether it's fraternities. I just think that's so stupid and idiotic that you have to push somebody to the limit to make them feel like they're part of the gang, and then that person
what
then
happened
can do
to
it
fill
to the
in
next
somebody's
generation.
Locker with shower or shaving cream.
Yeah, exactly. The fun stuff.
Yeah.
Not taking shits in people's duffel bags nonstop and doing that all the
all
time.
Right.
One time,
here's
that
the
might be fun.
That's a pretty common thing in wrestling that I put a kibosh in. With 2CW, I was like, yo, if anybody touches anything of mine or there's shit on anything of mine, like, kayfabe goes out the window and I will fucking stab you.
That's what I'm saying.
Are we clear?
That's what I'm saying.
And it never happened, so.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the way it should be handled. This whole thing like, oh, well, that's, you know, it's wrestling. That's what we got to do. And I know, you know, it was all behind closed doors, and that was the way it was, this like, small little fraternity, this little world. But the two things that come out of this, one is that Justin Roberts said it best, is that JBL, if you fire JBL, it doesn't necessarily going to change what's happening or how this is happening. It starts from the top up. To end that Justin Roberts passport story, a couple weeks later, he is in a closed door watching videos with Vince McMahon, and as Vince gets up, he leans over and he's like, you got to watch that passport, and he walks out. And he says in his book, at that point, I knew that it was okay from the top up. So there's that. Like, how can you change a culture that needs to be changed? Because you can't say that I am part of, we are the anti-bullying organization and have all your superstars out there and saying bullying is wrong and suicide rates are up and all this. And then you literally have it in your own company where it's sincere, somebody with a mental illness is driven to quit a job and driven to like a very, very dark place, to the point where Mauro Ranallo's friends, who are MMA fighters, want to kill JBL. And
Boz
has stated,
wants a piece of JBL.
And he has a podcast with him, and he literally put it on Twitter, dude, Johnny boy, let's talk face to face. I'll take you out. So it got real. There's a certain line you can't cross, man, where it gets real, especially when you're adults. The other thing I thought was interesting is that Deadspin, Forbes, CNN, Fox Sports, gosh, there's a whole bunch of them reported on this. And that's how the story grew. Because if it just stayed in our little wrestling world, it just would have stayed there and disappeared like all those other stories you heard. But it grew. And these mass media companies were starting to pick up the story. And good old ESPN. ESPN doesn't report anything. to the point where the legions of wrestling fans then go on Twitter and just go after Jonathan Coachman, who wrestling non-wrestling fans used to work for the company as now an ESPN reporter and pretty and one of their top talents. He on Twitter says he quit covering WWE because he doesn't want to deal with it. It's not fun anymore, and he wants to cover golf 100%. When he was pushed about the whole,
he was one of the biggest marks in JBL's.
Yeah, and when he talks about the whole, when he was pushed to answer the whole JBL, what do you say about this? How come you guys aren't investigating and reporting on this? He goes, ESPN, we don't report on rumors and stories that might not be true. And then the first thing I thought was like, okay, Richie Incognito with the Dolphins and the bowling, there was no proof on that. Guy left the team, and there were rumors about it, much like what happened tomorrow. Tom Brady and the deflated balls. It's the same type of thing.
Aaron Hernandez and like 17 murders.
Exactly. Or the spousal abuse, or the Brett Favre dick pics. The list can go on and on and on. For them not to choose to report on anything says two things. One, they are in bed with WWE, and two is they don't take it legitimate media entities do. So I was super disappointed with that, and I think it's ridiculous. And I'll give Peter Rosenberg, who's like one of my favorite on-air personalities. He hosts Hot 97 in the morning. He does Cheap Heat podcast, ESPN. You also saw him do the pre-show host on WrestleMania, and now he's in with Mania stuff. He is even shying away from it and saying, well, you know, I can't judge somebody on somebody else, what they do to somebody else. I have to judge them with how they treat me. To a certain extent, you're right. But when you continuously hear these stories over decades, and it drove a man to such a level of depression, dude, everybody's got to stand up and be like, this has got to end. And these chants of fire JBL, and they get into these mark cities, Dixon, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. So do you think that the E has to fire? First of all, let me get your bullying aspect. Because I'm a fan, and I don't like that type of stuff. You actually lived, breathed, worked, ran a wrestling promotion company, traveled with music bands. So you're in that much more of a fraternity, crazy world culture, like egos.
Here's the thing.
Masculinity.
There is a certain amount of hazing for the younger guys, but on the indies, it's, hey, man, I need you to go downstairs. We need a blue chair. Just make sure that you go down and you find the one blue chair. And we'll have, at the past time, stacked all the chairs and put the blue one on the bottom.
Okay.
Like, it's an intentional thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bullying.
No, I agree.
Because in the indies, you are on the ring crew while you're training.
Yeah.
You're paying your dues, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's like a bullying prank. No. I think that's a let's see what you're made of kid prank.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, being in a new city and locking somebody out of the building for 10 or 15 minutes. It's a funny joke. I'm sorry. It's not bullying by any stretch of the imagination. We have eyes on you. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and the
things like that.
The difference between what you say is like 10, 15 minutes and then stealing somebody's passport and having him to get back to the United States all by himself, or kicking him off of a tour bus in the middle of nowhere and he has to find his way to the arena where they're performing, shit like that. Like, they would take these simple ruses and these simple pranks. I call that a prank, to a level where it was like, if this guy doesn't show up, then he wasn't tough enough. And in reality, he could be in some country dead. And they would have no idea. That to me is crazy.
The most puzzling thing to me is how nobody has stood up to Layfield.
Do you know the one person who did? You have to know this story. And I didn't know about it until I started reading all these articles. Joey Styles.
Yeah.
For the people who don't know that story, look it up. Joey Styles basically was getting his ass handed to him by JBL, bullying him, and Styles just had enough on a tour bus. I think it was over in Europe, again, stood up to him. JBL stepped up to him, and Styles knocked him out, and JBL never messed with Joey Styles again.
And that most of that stemmed from the incident with the Blue Meanie during the
ECW. Yes, where he really freaking Punched him. And then I watched that whole Bart Gunn boxing match, and I guess there was some real beef between those guys.
Mm-hmm. And Bart Gunn laid his ass out.
Laid his ass out. God, and JBL's a big mofo, dude.
But he is a former football player, very physically fit, very strong guy, glass jaw.
Yeah, and especially Joey Styles. How tall is he, 5'8"?
Joey Styles is around my size.
Okay, and he's not like an MMA jacked dude at that size.
He was a boxer through high school and college. So he knew how to throw a punch.
Yes, but to be able to take somebody, I don't care if you, high school, college, to take somebody down that size, that's still an impressive feat. And it still makes JBL look like a little bitch.
He is a little bitch.
He is. So do you think that, okay, what do you think the E's going to do? You think they're going to fire him?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. He's tight with Vince.
Yeah, they have like
Here's the thing. If you're listening in a city that isn't Syracuse and WWE is coming to your town and SmackDown's live, buy the tickets right behind JBL.
Yes.
And just taunt him until he hits you.
Would you hear that somebody did that in SmackDown? Well, not the Tana, but fans brought in signs that said, hey, JBL, you get a bullet, and they stole and they took it from him. Like, the one thing you can't do, wrestling fans will let it be known how they feel about something. So if mm-hmm. you continue to push them away and say, oh, this will die down, they're going to grow and grow and grow. And especially now that Ronaldo is dropping a podcast next week with Boz, and he's back to calling, I think it's Showtime Boxing he's coming back mm-hmm. to. He's not shying away. So in that sense, he's going to be out and people are going to be more and more pissed.
Well, there's the big weekend of Bellator this weekend,
I think it's
too.
Bellator that he was doing, that he was coming. It was his first.
He was there last week.
He didn't announce it, though.
Was it? No, but he was there.
He produced it. But I'm saying like him coming back as far as the announcer. And when you hear that voice and that excitement, he's so good that and I think he'll actually probably take over for New Japan and Access like he did before when JR's contract's up in like a year, year and a half.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe do that switch.
What else we got to get to?
Anything with the Justin Roberts?
I haven't read the book.
Yeah. It's just interesting how they...
I'm going to steal it online and I'll read it over the course of the next couple weeks.
I'm just going to steal it from Timmy. And on a good note, do you have anybody that you hate this week? If not, we can just go into the last part.
Yeah, let's go to the last part.
All right. So the BS question of the week. All right. This is a little interesting thing that I have. Do you enjoy being naked? And I say this meaning like when you are at home with your wife alone, can you be completely naked and just walk around and not care? Or when you get out of a shower, can you just walk around or is the first thing like I got to put some clothes on? Like, are you okay with being butt-ass naked?
My favorite chair is leather, so that answer is no.
Right.
As far as the shower, once I'm completely dry, I'm fine with it. But if I'm still damp, I can't do it.
You got to wrap something around.
I can't do it.
But so, say you're completely dry. You can just walk around your house and be butt-naked.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Doesn't bother you at all. How long does it take for you, besides before you sit down on your leather chair? Like, you could be naked for like 2 hours if you were... Didn't need to put clothes on?
I prefer boxer briefs just because, you know what I mean? Like sitting on stuff and whatever else, it just seems more hygienic.
See, I can't be naked, man. I don't like it. Like, it's this weird phobia. I heard this in, and I'm not trying to steal credit for this question. I heard this topic on another show that I was listening to. It wasn't a podcast, but, and they were talking about this woman said how she has a complex about being naked. Like, as soon as she, is taking her work clothes off, she immediately has to put something else on. Or as soon as she gets out of the shower, she wants to be covered up. And it's not that she, and she's very attractive, it's not that she's ashamed, it's that there's this weirdness that mentally takes over, like I'm too free.
You're exposed.
I have that same feeling, man. Like, I don't like to be walking around butt-ass naked.
Well, here's a question for you. We're not naked from the waist down. What if you had a shirt on?
I can do that. It's naked, it's... Either being completely butt naked or naked from like being shirtless.
What about and I'm not boxer briefs?
I would want to have a t-shirt on within. Like,
so you're the guy that probably had sex with a t-shirt on for most of his
life. No, when I have sex, I can be completely naked. That's not a problem. Anything time I'm laying down and I stretch out, I'm fine with. Or I could be on top because it's sex and I like the skin to skin. But just walking around. Like if I'm going from my closet or I'm in the kitchen.
So what about the beach? Are you shirtless at the beach?
Yeah, because that's the environment promotes it.
Could you go to a nude beach?
No. No.
Even if it was like in another country and nobody knew who you were and you were never going to see these people again. Because I definitely went to a new beach.
And there's
in
other
Italy.
People there. I'm yeah. not by myself.
Right.
Definitely no for the fact that I wouldn't want anybody to see my girl naked. So that would
no,
be
just you by yourself.
Just me, no, absolutely.
I
no.
did it. It was liberating.
Was it really?
It was weird because it was a lot of old fat people.
Yeah, it's usually older dudes.
No,
it's like
it
the
was
gym.
Mostly like old fat ladies, yeah. to be honest. But again, it's Italy, so they all have mustaches. You're not sure what's male or female, yeah. and they all got titties too, so it don't matter. No offense, Italians. But it was liberating. You know what I mean? Like
what made it liberating?
The fact that you're outside on the ocean with your dick swinging.
But were you? See, my thought would be like everybody is staring at my dick. And
nobody was looking at me at all.
But that's the thing. I know they wouldn't be looking at me. I would think that they would because I'm such a people watcher. I watch everybody do everything,
so
and
weird.
I assume everybody is watching me. Do
so
everything.
Weird.
I'm not saying I'm normal.
Yo, I'm going to provide the question next week, by the way, because I was going to talk about it tonight, but we're down to
yeah.
like our last 10 minutes.
That's it. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, listeners, let us know via the email or Twitter. Can you be completely naked and not give an F? Like I couldn't. Like I don't even feel comfortable walking around in my house with just boxers on.
That's so
even
weird.
Even when I'm by myself, I'm like, yeah, I get a t-shirt on.
That's so weird.
It is.
What if it was you naked with your wife's Coco Beware outfit? Could you do that? Because it has like the
no, because
suspenders.
It's my wife's outfit. No, but that's still yeah, I could do that because it covers up my. Here's the thing: I work out all the time. I am not
take fat. Your shirt off right now.
No, dude, I'm not fat at all. I actually have a pretty good physique, but I have a body complex where I just always see my imperfections, and so when I'm naked, I see. What I don't like. And
so it's
I'm
the third nipple that
so
really
I'm
makes
assuming,
you uncomfortable.
Or the third testicle. I'm assuming somebody else is seeing the same thing.
Do you really
thing.
Have three balls, bro?
No.
But you do have three nipples?
No.
I've seen you with your shirt off,
you've
bro.
Never
you look
seen
like
me with
you look
my
like
shirt
a dog
off.
That just had babies. You got eight fucking nipples.
I got
bro.
Eight nipples now. That's some alien sex right there. All right, you guys, thank you for staying with us. We were gone for the last week and a half. We are back. Got some exciting stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But in
yeah,
the meantime,
it might be a couple weeks, actually.
No, it's not. We're going to be back.
So much stuff
dude,
going on, man.
Dude. Follow us on Twitter at B-Show Wrestling. Follow us on Facebook and like our page at the B-Show Wrestling Podcast. We're actually getting a lot of love on Facebook, which is awesome. So continue. I'll post stuff on Twitter and it automatically goes on Facebook and a lot of people have interaction that way. Dixon is giving the microphone a blowjob because he's bored.
Actually, I was scratching my nose with it because I was too lazy to lift my hands.
Sugar crush. Or you can email us at thebshowwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com for story ideas, thoughts, what you like more or less of. Please subscribe, download, review our show. I mean, come on, dude. It takes 2 seconds. Just subscribe. You don't even have to listen to the show. Subscribe, download, rate it 5 stars. Help us grow up the list and pass it on to friends, man.
And we'll be back in a month.
Dude, next week.
Maybe.
Next week, baby.
We'll have to sort some stuff out.
All right. To all you people
we'll figure
out there,
it out, though.
All right.
Yo, do yourselves a favor. Go to the Panera. Get the good lemonade. Steal as many cups as you
have
can.
Have the grape slushy Starburst.
No, don't do that. Leave those in stores. Leave them right there on the shelf, unpurchased, for yours truly.
If you're in Central New York. If you're in L.A. and other places.
Yeah, anywhere but Syracuse. Buy them up. I don't give a fuck.
In L.A.
But if you're in Syracuse, leave them shits for me, please.
Get the Slurpee. Get the Starburst. Get the weed that Dixon likes.
It's not a Slurpee.
Or what's it called?
It is blood orange lemonade, sir.
Blood orange lemonade at Panera. Get your grape slushy. Starburst. Get the good weed that helps you just sit on your couch and turn on that Kendrick Lamar album.
And
I'm
don't get
you, man,
naked because it makes Jay uncomfortable.
Change your hip-hop life.
See you in a month, bitches.
Naked. No, dude, you're not leaving in a month.